for each hold were attached to taller masts, one set into the forecastle and one into the poop. Each boom had its own dedicated winch. The design 1044 Lakers were built with cellular double bottoms, single-width side hull plates, and four deck levels. The upper or main deck stretched from stem to stern and was the structure upon which the hatch covers rested and from which the amidships deckhouse rose. The bridge deck, the house's first habitable level up from the main deck, contained the main saloon, the engineer's mess, the galley, a small pantry, the radio room, single cabins for the chief engineer and chief steward, and double cabins for the ship's deck and engineering officers. The aft two-thirds of the boat deck, one level higher, were open to the elements and housed two 24-foot wooden lifeboats, each capable of embarking 36 people, a 16-foot workboat, and davits for each. The forward part of the boat deck was taken up by the structure housing the staterooms for the captain and first officer, each of whom had direct access to the boat deck. Directly above these two cabins was the Laker's wheelhouse, which incorporated two bridge wings, a chart room, and the captain's small day cabin. Descending through the center portion of the Laker's boat, bridge, and upper decks, all the way to the keel, was a roughly 40-foot high and 20-foot wide space that housed the lower half of the ship's funnel and, just aft of that, the engine room trunk. The space at the funnel's base was taken up by two Scotch boilers, oil-fired in Coquina and her eight sister ships. These fed a single 1,250-horsepower triple-expansion reciprocating steam engine just aft of the boilers that gave the Manitowoc-built Lakers a service speed of about 10 knots, roughly 11.5 miles per hour. The keel of the ship that was to become Coquina and, ultimately, Cynthia Olson, was laid down in Manitowoc Shipbuilding's extensive works a mile up the Manitowoc River from Lake Michigan. Bearing the company yard number 100, she was one of nine vessels ordered under EFC contract 180227. Like virtually all Lakers, she was assembled from prefabricated sections, a method that greatly speeded her construction. Her hull was launched sideways, without fanfare, on November 30th, and within days she was moved downriver to the Manitowoc Boiler Works for installation of her Scotch boilers and further fitting out. Over the next 5 months, she was equipped with all those things needed to turn her into a vital part of the United States' massive wartime transatlantic shipping effort. Over the course of the 19 months the United States participated in the war, that Herculean effort used Army, Navy, and USSB-owned and requisitioned civilian ships, both American and foreign, to transport more than 2 million American service members and some 7.5 million tons of material to Europe. Yet, ironically, the military need for vessels like Coquina had begun winding down literally weeks before the freighter's launching. The November 11th, 1918 armistice that ended the fighting had also effectively reversed the flow of shipping. Rather than carrying troops and cargo to Europe, vessels had begun returning men and goods to the United States. Given that much of the war materiel carried to the Old World had been used in the ferocious final battles of the conflict or been passed on to various European governments to aid in their reconstruction, ships already in service were more than capable of handling the tonnage of cargo being returned to North America. And given that even the most homesick doughboy would draw the line at returning to America huddled in the vast reaches of an unheated cargo hold, most troops were repatriated on dedicated troop ships or requisitioned passenger vessels. As a result, by the time Coquina was completed in mid-April 1919, the EFC had determined that she and many of her sister ships were no longer needed on the transatlantic military cargo runs for which they'd been built. Rather than attempt to sell the vessels at a loss on the already glutted second-hand market,